a little restless. But while you are captain of the night watch, I am asking you to follow two very specific instructions. Sir, you will cease any investigations connected with this theft from the Assassin's Guild, do you understand? It is entirely guild business. Sir, Vimes kept his face carefully immobile. I'm choosing to believe that the unspoken word in that sentence was a yes, Captain. Sir. And that one too. As for the matter of the unfortunate Mr. Hammerhock, the body was discovered just a short while ago? Yes, sir. Then it's out of your jurisdiction, Captain. What, sir? The day watch can deal with it. But we've never bothered with that hours of daylight jurisdiction stuff. Nevertheless, in the current circumstances, I shall instruct Captain Quirk to take over the investigation, if it turns out that one is necessary. If one is necessary. People don't end up with half their chest gone by accident. Meteorite strike, perhaps, thought Vimes. He took a deep breath and leaned on the patrician's desk. Mayonnaise Quirk couldn't find his arse with an atlas, and he's got no idea about how to talk to dwarfs. He calls them gritsuckers. My men found the body, it's my jurisdiction. The patrician glanced at Vimes's hands. Vimes removed them from the desk as if it had suddenly grown red-hot. Night watch. That's what you are, Captain. Your writ runs in the hours of darkness. It's dwarfs we're talking about. If we don't get it right, they'll take the law into their own hands. That usually means chopping the head off the nearest troll. And you'll put Quirk on this? I've given you an order, Captain. But you may go. You can't... I said you may go, Captain Vimes. Sir. Vimes saluted. Then he turned about and marched out of the room. He closed the door carefully so that there was barely a click. The patrician heard him thump the wall outside. Vimes wasn't aware, but there were a number of barely perceptible dents in the wall outside the oblong office, their depths corresponding to his emotional state at the time. By the sound of it, this one would need the services of a plasterer. Lord Vetinari permitted himself a smile, although there was no humour in it. The city operated. It was a self-regulating college of guilds, linked by the inexorable laws of mutual self-interest, and it worked, on average, by and large, overall, normally. The last thing you needed was some watchman blundering around upsetting things, like a loose siege catapult. Normally. Vimes seemed in a suitable emotional state. With any luck, the orders would have the desired effect. There's a bar like it in every big city. It's where the coppers drink. The guards seldom drank in Ankh-Morpork's more cheerful taverns when they were off duty. It was too easy to see something that would put them back on duty again. Suicide, for example. Murder was in fact a fairly uncommon event in Ankh-Morpork, but there were a lot of suicides. Walking in the nighttime alleyways of the Shades was suicide. Asking for a short in a dwarf bar was suicide. Saying, "Got rocks in your head," to a troll was suicide. You could commit suicide very easily if you weren't careful. So they generally went to the Bucket in Gleam Street. It was small and low-ceilinged, and the presence of city guards tended to discourage other drinkers. But Mr. Cheese, the owner, wasn't too worried about this. No one drinks like a copper who has seen too much to stay sober. Carrot counted out his change on the counter. That's 3 beers, 1 milk, 1 molten sulphur on coke with phosphoric acid. With umbrella in it, said Detritus. And a slow, comfortable double entendre with lemonade.
With a fruit salad in it, said Nobby.
Woof.
And some beer in a bowl, said Angua.
That little dog seems to have taken quite a shine to you, said Carrot.
Yes, said Angua. I can't think why.
The drinks were put in front of them. They stared at the drinks. They drank the drinks. Mr. Cheese, who knew coppers, wordlessly refilled the glasses.
and detritus's insulated mug.